Thank you, Pastor Jamie, and so glad you and Maya are home. And we've been praying for you. We continue to pray for you. We are so thrilled what God's doing in your midst and in the family of TLC. It's great, and it's just great to be a part. Thank you for inviting me to share this morning with the church family. Keisha, thank you for leading us in worship and song and your heart for the Lord, and got my heart focused on the Lord again this morning. Thank you so much. That was beautiful and wonderful. Well, friends, I appreciate so much that I had this opportunity to speak with you and to walk together. You know, we do walk together in this world. In this world, there's many things, as has even been prayed this morning and sung about this morning. And, you know, we go through a lot of things in our culture individually. We go through things as churches. My church that I'm a part of, the church you're a part of, if you're looking in from a long ways away, whatever fellowship you're a part of, we are going through some very interesting, challenging times. And the Word of God this morning has so much to say to us, to all of us, no matter your personal situation, no matter your church situation, no matter even our national situation as well. Let me invite you to turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. You know, Romans chapter 8 is the center of the book of Romans, and the book of Romans is probably the most theologically deep and rich book in the New Testament. It gives us so much to understand, and there's so much truth that is conveyed through the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, and we're right in the center of that book today, Romans chapter 8. We're going to look in just a few minutes at Romans 8, 18 through 25. But just a quick background to the people and the Christians who were in the Roman church. You know, they were under tremendous governmental control, tremendous governmental pressures. There was a lot of strain. There was even some struggle going on if you were a Christian. Now, I want to say about our culture that we're in today as a people, this issue of what's going on in our culture is not centered or focused on Christians. So we're not under personal Christian persecution by what we're going on. But the whole culture is dealing now with difficulty, futility, struggle. There's so many struggles going on with our nation and the nations of the world. Every nation is affected in different ways. And so this is not centralized, focused on Christians only. But we do see that the creation, the culture of the world is in a mess, is in a turmoil worldwide. But you know, this passage we're going to look at in just a moment does speak about the great calamity that the whole world is going through. But in fact, this passage also has a lot to say about you and I. When we go through personal futility, personal decay, personal calamity, personal struggle. Many of you know from what Pastor Jamie said to your church family that my wife had gone through cancer. She passed away 2.5 months ago. This was a difficult, challenging time for us as we walked through this. So many others I know, maybe watching today, you have illness, disease, struggle, calamity. Maybe there's been a crisis, a disaster, an accident. Maybe there's a health issue going on with you. Maybe there's relational conflict that's taken place, not just through this COVID crisis and the pandemic and the sheltering in place era, but maybe in your own personal life. Suffering is a reality for people. And so let me open up the Word of God to us today here together. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version from Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 25. Maybe you have a Bible there on your lap or on your phone or somewhere you can look on. It's going to be on the screen behind us here. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Romans 8, 18 to 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Bless the Lord in his word. This passage at the heart of the book of Romans, the center of the book of Romans, which is really a central theme that the Lord God gives us through the Apostle Paul, helps us see ourselves individually, see ourselves in clusters of people called the church, or sees ourselves even culturally part of the greater creation of all of humankind. And so the first big idea I like to draw from God's word here is that suffering is certain. Suffering is certain. Friend, it's certain for you, it's certain for me, it's certain for us. It's certain for our world. Suffering is certain. And through the scriptures, Old and New Testament, we see this same principle that our spiritual life has many certainties in it, but one of which of those is suffering. As Christians, we must suffer with Christ if we are to share in his glory. That's what the message seems to be in this book of Romans. Let's just think about this for a minute. You maybe have heard, as I have, from some people that are Christians or professing believers, that suffering is a sign of sin in your life. Or suffering might be a sign that you're not walking with God in some way. Or that if you were walking with God, you would be always healthy, always strong, always prosperous, always happy. Friends, that is not in the Word of God. The Word of God is clear, both Old and New Testament, that all believers can and likely will go through suffering personally. It might be physical suffering. It might be emotional suffering. It might mean other types of suffering that have happened to you and it's gone on in the past, or maybe it's going on now, or maybe it'll still be coming to the future if you feel you have not had a suffering experience in your life. So this isn't meant to be pessimistic. It's meant to be honest. That from the book of Romans, we understand that suffering, this decay, this struggle, this hardship that we go through is a reality. It's a reality for everyone who's ever been born. It's a reality from everyone from every nation, whether it's called the Christian nation or not. Whether you're in a church, whether you follow Jesus or not, suffering is a reality that can or will show up in our lives. So suffering is certain. That's the big idea we're looking at the start of this passage. But now, notice what the passage goes on to say to help describe this a little bit more. The big idea I'd like to go to, number two, is that the entire creation is subject to suffering. Now, the words in the book of Romans use the word futility, or bondage to decay. So this big idea here is that the creation, verse 20 says, the creation was subjected to futility. You may have a different version that says subjected to vanity, or things that tend to wear out or die within, or they're kind of empty. Honestly, I kind of think of cotton candy as vanity. It looks good, but the minute you taste it, it dissolves into nothing. That's the concept of futility. You're not getting strength from cotton candy. You're not getting, you know, fiber and all you need from cotton candy. It's a silly illustration, but the vanity, something can look really good, but it kind of dissolves. It kind of decays. It seems to be gone in no time. Remember in the book of Genesis, it was abundantly clear that in the creation, there was a beautiful creation. It was a beautiful creation with what could be seen and experienced and eaten. It was a beautiful experience for the first man and the first woman. But soon after, we found that once decay entered, once their sin, their disobedience to God entered, a lot of things started happening. One was thorns and thistles now would accompany the work. When we work, work is a beautiful honor, and work was true before sin entered the world. But sometimes, soon after that first work was done by God's grace and His giving them work, work began to decay, and their efforts began to decay. They had to go through thorns and thistles with their work. And remember what happened to the first woman. It was cautioned and reality and warned that from now on there will be a pain in childbirth for the woman. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes is a book that is in the Old Testament. It speaks about the many realities that people saw, and the great thinker Solomon, as he expressed what he said it was called, all is vanity. In other words, everything about our life will sooner or later wear down or wear out or decay, or there's going to be struggle through all of our life. And so this is a reality that suffering is certain, and that the entire creation is going to be subject to suffering, futility, or bondage and decay. You know, the original creation did not have these negative effects. The frustration and futility came to them from outside of itself. Now, here's the interesting part in the scripture we read a little bit earlier. It says, you were subject to futility, but because of Him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free. That's in verse 20. In other words, the futility we struggle isn't necessarily just because we are failing. We certainly contribute to our own struggles many times, but in fact, this world is decaying. And so we can never believe, I think sometimes we try to believe, that we are fully in control about ourselves. We can eat all the right things. We can do all the exercise we need to do. We can try to follow the right guidelines and principles and the way things are supposed to go from what we learn from others. But in fact, we still may go through suffering. Because suffering happens from outside of us. It can come upon us. The same is true with our pandemic right now. You can do all the things you can to try to protect yourself. But in fact, there's many people that have this pandemic, this disease or virus, maybe will catch it in different ways that you never saw coming. Well, friends, that's the realities of our life so many times. We go through many sufferings in our life. Futile things go on. We talked about cancer. We can talk about other diseases, all these other struggles. Is it from within, or is it from without, or is it from our habits? Is it from what we eat? Is it from what we ingest? There's all these things that go on. But the reality here is that suffering is a reality in our life, and all of creation is struggling with futility, with decay, with the bondage to decay, as the scripture says. So something is larger than us. And something is larger than us in control here. We have a clear sense from the scriptures that God is the one who brings us the help and reality in our times of suffering. And that's what this passage is getting to here. There's a deep hope built in to the creation that it'll someday be freed from the bondage to its decay, is the principle here in Romans chapter 8. But that's true in our personal lives, friend. There's a deep hope that someday our personal suffering will be over, will be ended, the sufferings we go through. No matter how hard we try to do the right thing or the good thing or the helpful thing or the obedient thing or the right thing, the healthy thing, we still will go through sufferings. And so, suffering, another big idea, suffering here has a purpose far beyond the actual experience of the suffering. As the suffering is one thing, but what's a greater purpose taking place as we go through suffering, individually, sometimes maybe even in your family, or possibly in our culture? I think there's also many other things that God is doing because we're under the subjection to the suffering itself. And God is involved with doing things in us and often through us during our times of suffering. Whether it's my time of suffering, your time of suffering, or collectively our times as a people in our times of suffering. We know from Scripture that God often uses suffering to discipline us. There's often things we need to learn. By a little bit of pain or struggle, God often uses this to clarify things in us, to make us think differently, to wake up or to do things, approach things differently. We may fight the suffering, struggle with what we're going against. It's like, how can this happen? I'm done with this. I don't want any more of this. I'm tired of being told what to do. The question might be, what will God still teach you and help you with in this time of suffering? This is a collective time of suffering in our nation and the nations of the world. But friend, you and I often have our personal times of suffering. What is God teaching us? His loving discipline in our life. He also uses suffering to humble us, where we thought we were in control. We thought we were the powerful beings we always have dreamt to be. We think we're in charge of our life in so many ways. Well, we are to be responsible. We are to take clear responsibilities to live a life of discipline and direction and moral courage and all these other wonderful traits. That is our responsibility. But God often humbles us through suffering by we realize that we are not fully in control ourselves. God often strengthens us through suffering. So when we think we're so weak, and we are weak, our bodies, sometimes our emotions are weak, sometimes the realities of our world make us weak. We just can't seem to be on top of everything like we want to. But amazingly, by God's grace, His strength is made true in our weakness. That we find that we are beyond ourselves. And we cannot control our situation personally or collectively. But we learn to have strength from Him. And He strengthens us to be able to go through things we never imagined we could go through. Some of the sufferings our personal family has gone through. If I would have known ahead of time they were coming, I don't think I could have done it. I certainly would not have anticipated. I would have been greatly fearful or inadequate to deal with what was ahead of us. Maybe you have situations like that as well. But what I think here is that the Lord God strengthens us when we are weak by His grace. And we turn to Him, we trust Him, we follow His will, we understand what He's trying to do in our hearts. We learn to obey Him. We learn to listen to His voice. As we learn to walk with Him and trust Him at His word, when we know the identity He has given us, who we are in Him, we don't have to live by our flesh or the way that we feel we are prideful in our abilities or our education or other built-in strength maybe we had in our own well-being. No, in fact, the Lord God strengthens us. And so that's another thing He does through suffering. And sometimes the Lord even tests us. There's a few different scriptures, Old and New Testament, that speak about how suffering becomes a test. What are you made of? Who are you? Where are you going to turn? And so in this era, friends, I would like to just invite us to think very deeply about that. If we're sheltering in place, some of you maybe have essential jobs, you're able to still work out in the workplace. Some of you are working at home. Many of you are dealing with your family and trying to, at home, try to figure all this stuff out when you're around each other 24/7 and you don't have the freedoms to independently go your own way and come back at the end of the day. No, you're there every day, every hour of the day. And this is challenging for all of us. In one sense, it's a test for all of us. Now, it came from the pandemic, but the reality is it's a test to see where we're going to turn in our own hearts and our struggles. And so the need to turn to the Lord God, to trust Him, to walk with Him, to know who we really are and to see what's true about ourselves. But also sometimes we need to test, we're tested by walking with others and reaching out to people and connecting with people that are just like us, and we can be an encouragement and support of them as Keisha already mentioned, the body of Christ, TLC, walking together by the phone or watching Zoom calls together or finding a way. But it's the test of where our focus is. It's the test, and the Lord God comes from the outside and helps us see who we really are and gives us the grace and hope that we need. Well, this is going on among us, friends. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, I'd like to just read this very briefly because this very special book of Romans gives us also this sense of what happens in these times of trial. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Again, I'm reading in the English Standard Version. 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. First of all, friends, into this grace we stand. In other words, it's not of our own abilities. It's a grace given to us from God. It's a grace to be able to stand far beyond what we had in our own ability, our own education, our own discipline that we figured out. But grace of God is given to us to deal with things that we never thought we could deal with. We never imagined them. And then they're thrust on us. Sometimes we saw them coming. Other times it's not there one day, and the next day, here it is, it's news. I remember when my wife got the phone call that she had cancer. We had many people that we knew who had gone through cancer, including some of our family members. So we had been around cancer. But my wife was sitting on our living room floor with one of our grandkids. And the doctor calls. And in about 3 minutes, says, "You have cancer." I saw her eyes change. I saw her life change. Our life changed. And we were stunned. I don't think my wife even heard the rest of the things the doctor said. We had to have a follow-up appointment, more appointments. And it's like, wait a minute, what just happened? What just happened? I've read of some other friends who have gone through grief and the loss. One I've just been reading about, his wife, his 4-year-old daughter, and his mother were in his vehicle, and a drunk driver came and hit him head on. And those three women in his life all died on the spot. He had two other kids with him that lived and survived as he did. But within a flash of life, a flash of the time on the clock that happened, his wife of 25 years, his young 4-year-old daughter, and his mother, who, of course, he knew since birth, were just gone. And so grief and the struggle and the suffering that he has gone through, well, he's still going through it, but he's going through it with the grace of God. He's doing things he's never had to do before. He's raising his children by himself. He's doing schooling by himself. He's having to do all these things that his wife, his mother, or even, and he loved his little 4-year-old daughter, who was, they were all gone in a flash. Now, that's an accident of tragedy. There's diseases that can cause tragedy. There's also relational things that go on. There's many, many people I know who have gone through relational suffering with their family. Parents and child can't get along anymore, one way or the other. Spouses who have gone through divorce or struggle or turmoil or different difficult things have come into their life. We never imagine these things coming when we walk the aisle or when we have a child or when we go through these things. But by this world that's futile, this world that has futility, it has decay coming from every which way, we now inherit a future that we never planned for. So suffering does that to us. But in the midst of this suffering, the scripture says here, the grace of God reaches to us. We get grace to live in ways we never thought we could live. We don't want to go this way. This isn't what was the plan. This isn't what we thought about. This isn't what we idealized about or dreamt about. But while we are now there, God and His grace and His love and care and involvement with His people is there as well. And the people of God rally around each other because we all need that grace from God and often the grace from others to deal with things that we just could not imagine going through these things by ourselves. And so this scripture in Romans goes on to say here, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope. We're going to talk about hope in a minute. Hope isn't wishful thinking. We'll talk about that as well. More than that, verse 3 says of Romans 5, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Wait a minute, rejoice in our sufferings? You've got to be kidding me. That sounds nice on the printed page. But friends, when you go through suffering, do you really rejoice? Not so much for the suffering. That's not what he's saying. You don't rejoice, oh yeah, bring on that suffering. I'm so glad to get it. But what he's saying is rejoice in the suffering. While you're in the suffering, we can learn by the grace of God to rejoice in the suffering we're going through. Again, not for it. We're not saying, oh yeah, I want to suffer. No, we're not that kind of pessimistic kind of person. We shouldn't be. But the reality is when suffering comes into our life, the Lord God, by His grace, has access to us. And we have access to Him in ways we never imagined we would have. We have grace from God that initiates itself to us. He reaches to us. He engages with us. And we can now engage with Him in ways that we never thought possible. Never thought possible. More than that, he says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Suffering and walking with God by His grace in our suffering, He creates endurance in our heart, in our life, in our inner person. Friends, there's strength and endurance that comes from God's grace in situations you and I never would have imagined we could walk through. And we don't walk through them with strength because we're so smart or we're so capable. It's the grace of God that extends to us. And we say, oh my goodness, look what I now must do, or I can do, or I will do, or God, you're helping me do this, or others are helping me do this. There's a grace given to us to deal with things and situations we can't imagine. Dear friends of ours had childbirth situations where when that child was born, there was some very much physical disabilities, and some have had mental disabilities that have taken place. And now they're living years later with a child that could never walk on their own, could never take, even can't even communicate on their own. Can't even communicate in the English language here in America. They can't speak on their own. They can't communicate with words what they need. And they're 18, 20, 23 years old in this situation. Friends, do you think those parents had any clue? It's like, oh, I'm not going to sign up for this. No, but when they, here it comes, totally out of seemingly nowhere, God has given them the grace to love, respond, and engage with their children and to be a parent or parents. Sometimes parents inherit this responsibility by themselves. Sometimes one of the spouse might leave when there's a suffering and tragedy. There's a lot of divorce or separation that often takes place. But the issue is, that parents or those parents who stay together and walk together through this, God's grace gives them the strength that they need, and they learn about this, about their own ability to have endurance. But it goes on to say this, that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. This is a character that is a stabilized habits in my life. From the inside out, what you're alone, even in private. You know, a lot of us can put on a show when we're with the crowd, at work or with the community or even at the church. And we can carry on a certain way for that hour or two or three we're with other people. But character is what you are when you're alone. When you're alone, when you're in secret, when you have no one else to cause you to act out for their good. Character is what you're like when you're by yourself. And here's a beautiful promise from the book of Romans that when we go through suffering, we gain endurance and we can engage a character, a habit, a habitual part of our life that we're doing the right thing or the good thing or the needful thing, not because we have to by others looking at us, but because God gives us the grace to do what's needed in this moment. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. When we see that God works in our life, gives us character, gives us, when we're alone and he deals with the inner person of who we are, and we do the thing that he wants us to do, it also creates this great sense of hope, this anticipation of what's still to come, which we're still going to look at in just a minute here. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So here's an amazing connection in this book of Romans, that the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts, working in our hearts, gives us the grace from God to deal with these difficult situations of suffering. And we find as we trust him and walk with him, that Spirit of God empowers us and gives us life to thrive, even when, like I said, the realities are we never could imagine walking through this alone. So Romans 5, 1 to 5 is a great help to us. So there is a relationship. There's a relationship, Romans is telling us, that between earthly suffering and eternal inheritance. So suffering in this life, no matter the cause, it doesn't give us eternal life, but it somehow shows and gives us hope about eternal life. There's an eternal inheritance to come. As we walk with suffering, we walk in suffering, we walk through suffering with God's help by his Holy Spirit. It's an inheritance to come. And you know what? I believe that inheritance is awakened in our hearts. We have an anticipation. We have a sense of someday, someday, someday. And let's look at that here together. See, the next big idea here from this passage is that suffering causes us to groan, desire, and hope for an indescribable future. When we go through suffering as a believer, we groan, a desire or thirst is created, and there's a hope of the indescribable future that's still waiting for us. This is, friends, an amazing gift to the believer. And the friends we have in the world who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ do not have this same hope, this eternal confidence of God's goodness and kindness and their fulfillment with God forever. So this is another reason why we need to be great messengers of God's grace to the world around us in their time to struggle, because they don't have eternal hope. So we share union with Christ, the scripture says in Romans as well. We are fellow heirs with Christ. We're inheritors with Christ. Also, we suffer with him, but you know what? He suffers with us. There's a sense of identification we have with Jesus when we suffer innocently, because Jesus suffered innocently. When we inherited situations that weren't necessarily of our doing, and we're innocent, we kind of must struggle with that, but he suffers with us as well. He comes close to us in the midst of our suffering. And the beauty here about being fellow heirs with him is we will be glorified with him. So this passage now, a couple closing principles or thoughts here. Suffering in believers is dwarfed by the glory that is to be revealed to us. Suffering in believers, friends, is dwarfed by the glory that is to be revealed to us. I'm going to go back up to verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation in general, this creation of this world around us, is in decay, because of the sin that enters through humankind, and this beautiful world that we love the beauty of the world, but it's not as beautiful as it was intended to be. This world is broken, is futile because of what humankind and mankind has done through all the centuries to it and all the millennia to it. But our lives, friends, are similarly here, that as the creation groans, because it's kind of a struggle for this creation, because it was meant to live a certain way. On the last day, the future day, that day, when the Lord God, Jesus Christ, returns to this earth to receive his own and to bring an end to this whole created order that we know right now, the creation will be freed and liberated from its bondage to decay and futility. All the difficult things, I'm talking now just about the created natural world, the beauty, the beautiful natural world that's under a lot of decay and difficulty. But now think of all of the reality of humankind that's fought and violence and evil and corruption and all the decay in human hearts that's gone on. When he returns, there's a glory of God that'll take place. There's a new heavens. There's a new earth. And we who are believers, there's a new us. There's a new community of believers that'll be all different. And you know what's going to be different? No violence, no evil, no disease, no sickness, no calamities, no burdens, no pain due to suffering. The scripture says in verse 21 that creation will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory. Obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Are you a child of God? I don't mean just mean a human born in the image of God. That's a little bit different. All humankind were made in the image of God. But being a child of God is one who enters into a relationship of affection, a relationship of love, a relationship of trust. And so those who walk with God as one of the children of God, you're born into a family. You're born into a family, even if your physical family of those others don't believe in this Jesus. But you have a new family. You've been transformed by the love of God. Love the name of your church, Transforming Love, Christian Center. But the transforming love of God. A couple closing thoughts or principles. So suffering or hardship, pain, and death are temporary. Suffering is temporary. My first words are, thankfully. Thankfully. My goodness. The suffering, whether it's physical suffering due to disease, suffering due to an accident, suffering due to how someone was born, suffering to the calamities that you've gone through because of relational conflicts or broken relationships, the suffering is only for a season to the believer. It's only for now, or maybe it was then, or maybe it's still to come, but it's for a season. And these seasons seem long to us. Our journey with cancer was 4 years. My wife passed 4 years after she found out she had cancer. There's many others who have cancer who live 30 more years, 40 more years, wonderfully. I'm so thankful for them. But they still suffer something in cancer during those years. So whether it's a short term because of an accident that takes someone's life right away, or there's emotional pain of suffering that goes on, the suffering that we go through today is short-lived. Is short-lived on the grand scheme of things. It seems like forever today. When it goes through a month, a year, 5 years, it's been maybe 10 years since you started suffering over a situation. That's a long time. But friends, on the grand scheme of things, it's not a long time. I'm not trying to underestimate the pain, struggle, suffering you're going through now. Because it seems like it's forever. I get that. But the suffering in this world, in this futile world, this decaying world, is relatively short term if we can get the glimpse of the future, a glimpse of eternity, a glimpse of the eternal Almighty God who invites us into relationship with Him and by gives us this great sense of promise and hope for what is to come. So the closing thought here is that all aspects of the creation are personified as groaning and waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God and the release from corruption that is coming. Every aspect of the creation, the physical creation world, the beautiful part of this created world that is decaying due to pollution and the struggles we've done to it, the animal creation, those are non-human forms of God's created order. But then humanity, the suffering, the pain and decay within humanity as a group, pandemics, viruses, diseases, they just come across all the nations, in any nation or throughout all the nations. These are all realities of the struggle. And then what about when it gets really personal? You yourself, or you and your family, or maybe within your own culture of family, or your own church, our church. So it says here in the Word of God that there's a groaning waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. I always thought groaning meant moaning. Like there's a complaint. Oh, I'm moaning. I'm so complaining. I'm so struggling with this. But this word groaning in the book of Romans is the groaning of like a woman preparing for childbirth. There's a groaning, but there's an anticipation of this child that's going to come. And so there's these birth pangs. There's these struggles that come. And there's a sense of, I'm groaning, but it's because I'm expecting what's going to happen. I anticipate, and there's a great hope of this child that's going to be on my lap in a short amount of time. This groaning is something that the creation does. It's waiting for the expectation to be fulfilled. And friends, as we wait, when my wife waited for her cancer to be healed, she groaned in the sense of she had physical pain. But she also had great expectation that someday, whether it's she's healed on this earth or she dies what we would call a premature death, she had great expectation, hope, certainty, assurance of what's to come. And so it gives you hope because you anticipate a full healing. No more pain, no more struggle. I'm going to have fulfillment in knowing God like I could never have known Him on this earth. And so God in His ways showed mercy to my wife by bringing her home to heaven before we had the shelter in place. Now others don't have that luxury, but I'm just saying that she is just fine right now. She has experienced the fullness of being healed. She's not facing this turmoil, this futility, this agony of this world, the physical pain, the struggles, and the things that go on in the world around us. And so friends, for we know, verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons. So see, there's the groaning. The groaning isn't, oh, I'm so miserable. I'm moaning everything wrong with my life. But no, it's a groaning like, oh, it's coming. It's coming. I'm going to have it someday. I groan for this birth, this newness of life, this full healing, this full strength, this full removal from having to go through all this pain. And it says that the creation even groans waiting for the sons of God. In other words, the children of God. You and I. When we're redeemed fully, at that time, when the fullness of all time has been made, the creation will be a whole new creation as well. So verse 24 closes and says this, "For in this hope we were saved." Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it. We wait for it with patience. My wife has experienced completion. She doesn't hope anymore. She has it all. She's fully safe. She's fully united with the Lord God in relationship. She's fully safe from any more pain, misery, groaning of struggle. Friends, hope is what God promises us. There's a day coming for all of us who love and follow and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a hope of fullness of life. And once we enter that reality, we don't need hope anymore. We've received it all. And it's glorious. It's indescribable. So all we do right now is wait with anticipation at His timing for when it's time for us to meet Him. And so in the meantime, we go through struggles. We go through suffering. We go through difficulties. But we go through it with His grace. And He meets us in our weakness and gives us the strength to do what we need to do. And notice these last couple thoughts here. He says, we wait for it with patience. We don't rush it along. We don't take things into our own hand. We wait for His glorious giving us this completion of new life. And whether He comes to meet us through Jesus returning to the earth or whether we go home to be with Him at His timing, we have this great hope, this great longing, this great reality. And we have the Holy Spirit, it says right here, that He already gave us for the strength we need, the first fruits. So we haven't had all the fruits of the Holy Spirit in that sense. We haven't completed the journey, but He's given us a taste of life with Almighty God. Eternal life is knowing God and Him knowing us, John 17:3. And so it's pretty great already if you know Him. But friends, there's a lot more to come. And so we only have the first fruits. Early guarantee of that. So I'm going to pray for you now. And wherever you are, in this California area, or maybe you're somewhere else in the United States, or maybe somewhere else in the world, I'm going to pray that you know that the Lord God loves you. And no matter what suffering you're going through, through your own personal life issues, or whether we as a people in this country or the country in which you live goes through. Okay.